Lord, thank you for Barbara. We just ask that you help her to bring the word to us this morning. And we know, Lord, that it's going to be coming from you. Just stand next to her and just give her confidence. And Lord, we just know that she's going to do well. Amen.
Everybody. Unexpectedly here, I would like to just really thank Gus. Because the word that he gave this morning is the word that he gave me, but I haven't included it. The power of the testimony of our mouth. And this is about. The series, Believing God. Believing God when there is no evidence. We are following, I'm following today Joshua 2 verse 6, for those of you who've got your Bibles, because it jumps around a little bit, but yeah, that's the word the Lord gave me. In 2007, my life imploded like the walls of Jericho. I was propelled into my faith walk. I went to the UK later that year and was introduced to a Bible study by Beth Moore called Believing God. This Bible study taught me several foundational concepts that have changed my life. They are the declaration, God is who he says he is. God can do what he says he can do. I am who he says I am, and I can do all things through him. And his word is alive and active in my life. The discipline of daily quiet times. The power of memorized and proclaimed words. The incredible faith building of journaling every day as I record what my Lord has revealed and done for me. Over the next few years, I did a series four times with different ladies. And through this process, met and came to love and identify with Rahab. Such an unlikely woman. And through her reverence and acknowledgement of the sovereign God, stepped into her divine purpose. I realized that what God, who is no respecter of persons, had done for her, he could do for me. Her story of faith and redemption inspired me. I came to see what was broken or not. Whether broken or not, we all have a divine destiny. We pick up the story of the progress of the Israelites once they had been taken to the promised land. Joshua 2 verse 1 says, when Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim, go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. In the book of Josephus, he mentions that they went around the city unhindered. Even though they would have been easily identified by their appearance. In verse 2:1b, he says, and so they went and entered the house of the prostitute Rahab and stayed there. I have wondered how they found her house and how they were able to communicate with her, only by God's divine intervention. The king of Jericho sends word to Rahab to hand them over as he is aware of their presence and intentions. In a split second, Rahab formulates a daring plan. At great risk to both her and her family, she takes them to the roof and hides them. The king's men come, and she explains that they have left and points them in a different direction. Later that night, she goes up to talk to them. Joshua 2 verse 9 sets out the whole incredible testimony of her faith. I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up this Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two Amorite kings east of Jordan who you destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everybody's courage failed. Her next declaration is the key to Rahab's abandonment of Canaan, and it's God's to side with the Lord of Israel, setting herself apart from the rest of the city. Joshua 2 verse 11b says, "And for the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and on earth below." An interesting fact I found out was that Baal, who reigned as king among all other gods, he was the king god in that area, was because he had triumphed over the river god. Hence the crossing of the Red Sea meant that Baal was no longer king of the gods. Recognition from her. Rahab then made an agreement with the two men to spare her and her family. Verse 14, our lives for your lives. Giving them direction of where to go and hide, advising them to stay there for 3 days. She then lets them down by the rope through the window. Her house was on the outer wall. The men then told her that the oath they were taking would only be binding if the scarlet cord was seen tied in the window where they were let down. Verse 21, she agreed, "Let it be as you say." And so she sent it away and departed. And here is the key verse of the whole message. And then she tied the scarlet cord in the window. She ties the scarlet cord in the window when the spies leave, not when she sees them coming back, although she believes they'll be coming back quite soon. She's believing that they'll be back. So it wouldn't matter if it was seen and associated with the incident with the spies and the king's men. A time lapse now takes place while Rahab waits in faith. The spies return with the news of her declaration to Joshua. This also incredibly powerful in the lives of the Israelites. Joshua 2 verse 24, the Lord has surely given us the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. God is preparing his people for the next step, possessing the land. Joshua 3 to 6. The next three chapters outline what happens before the spies get back to Jericho. Remembering that there was a large group of people, 2 to 3 million, who would move very slowly. And these are the most powerful points to remember about while we take our eyes off Rahab is to what the Lord of heaven and earth is doing in tandem with the story of Rahab. Consecrating themselves before entering into the promised land. The crossing of the Jordan River, which was in full flood. Taking the stones to Gilgal as a monument which was built. Circumcising all the fighting men so that they could celebrate Passover. And when they were healed, the 7 days of Passover. I thought about this quite deeply because I started to realize that actually this was quite a large time. Several months, I think. Well, I have spoken to several people, and the estimate is several months. And Rahab waits, hearing the reports of the Israelite army's progress, to be sure the only person who's looking at it. But she waits, and she waits, and the scarlet cord is in the window. Let us try and imagine Rahab's level of faith. After such a long wait, let's look at our depth of faith. Are we believing God for a promise that he has given us? When you received it by faith with much joy and gratitude, is the time frame testing you to the point where you begin to doubt? Know this, doubt leads to unbelief, and unbelief kills faith. The scarlet cord is still in the window. How did the challenge of waiting affect Rahab? We can only surmise. But she believed in the God who is God of heaven and earth. I believe in the believing God declaration. God is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do. I am who He says I am. I can do all things through Him because His word is alive and active in my life. Back to Joshua. Joshua 6 verse 1. Now Jericho is tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Obviously the people had heard of the further miracle of the crossing of the Jordan in full flood. This means so much to the people in Canaan. More than anything actually else. The power of the God of the Israelites. All the specific details of the conquest of Jericho had been given to Joshua. Joshua 6 verse 8. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying seven trumpets before the Lord went forward blowing the trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. In verse 10, but he commanded them, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until I tell you to shout. Then shout. I wonder how the Israelites felt as they walked around this huge city, known for its strength and invincibility. There is no mention that Joshua told them of the plan until the end. To any of them, it would have seemed more than a bit crazy. And Rahab. Imagine her heart beating almost audibly. She brings her family into her home. Are they like so many of our unbelieving family, mocking and demeaning our faith? Or are they so frightened that they are putting their faith in God, in Rahab's story, as actually they have no option? Now comes the days of waiting. Day one starts early in the morning for her, but confusion unsettles her heart as she watches them from the window with the red cord in as they walk away, as they walk silently around the wall and disappear. Day two, the same is happening, and Rahab's heart is so confused. The citizens of Jericho also wondering, what are these crazy people thinking? We will be fine. That's my interpretation, sorry. Day three, is doubt starting to take hold? In the dictionary, it says that faith is the unshakable certainty. And I believe that that is what she still had. Day four, will unbelief and confusion weaken her spirit? Maybe it helps for her to keep positive for her family. She cannot display doubt. Day five, is all the faith and hope gone? But the cord is still in the window. Day six, or does the God of heaven and earth, in whom she believes, fill her with peace beyond her understanding, hope where there is no evidence, only the assurance that God is who He says He is. Day seven. How will we ever know in the unfolding of God's plan how they all felt and how it actually came about? In Joshua 3 verse 6, we know that the outcome of the destruction of Jericho, time spent reflecting on the preparation of His people, are lessons we need to change our attitude to the journey ahead. When I am believing God and there is no evidence, I must feed my spirit with evidence God has shown me before. That's what builds faith. What is it about Rahab's story that drew me to her? Not the only person who, in the worldly opinion, should have been included in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1. How misguided we can be. In several other commentaries, she is referred to as an innkeeper because it's a little bit uncomfortable. But the truth is that she was a prostitute. Even today, that is frowned on. Like divorce. So many adjectives go with that word. But God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10 verse 34. That's a life-saving truth for the likes of me. From a place of brokenness, pain, and shame, hope crept into our life. The gift of faith given to her could be mine also. And so I clung to the tools that had been given to me to grow my faith and replace my pain and shame as I learned to trust God. That's how I feed on these verses. Hebrews 13 verse 5, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 11 verse 6, and that He is the rewarder of those that earnestly seek Him. Psalm 137b, for in Him is full redemption. The gallery of faithful believers, of which Rahab is one in Hebrews 11, are there to challenge our sometimes weak and wavering faith. But that's okay. Jesus understands and longs for those who will dare to trust Him. Today I'm asking you, have you put your faith in the God of heaven and earth as Rahab did? If not, today is the day that you can leave behind your Jericho, which will one day crumble and fall before the mighty power of God. And it is time to start believing God. A picture. God speaks to me in pictures very much all the time, because it's how He interprets His world for me. Thinking about ground zero, what relates you today. Another one where there's got another cross, but for me, this is to give you a visual idea of the imploding, what it would have been like, the imploding of Jericho, and where the cross stands. Imagine looking back at Jericho and seeing all the devastation, but Rahab's house still stood with the scarlet cord in the window. Psalm 91 verse 11, for He will command His angels concerning you, guard you in all His ways. Imagine the Israelites walking away from this, back to their camp, and seeing the destruction of the Lord of glory, the most powerful God in all the earth, but seeing Rahab's house standing in the wall. I wish someone could have actually photoshopped it for me. Because I just thought this could be an amazing picture to put on it on our desktop or on our phone, maybe, as a reminder of faith, while all around you is destruction. Everybody.
Thank you, Barbara. And wow, makes you think, doesn't it? In today's fast world, we often want things to happen now. We can't wait on faith. And it just makes us take a step back and be faithful. We're quite early, but yeah, give us time for a bit of fellowship and tea and coffee. I'll just close in a short prayer. Lord, as we go forward into this new week, please be with us. Be with our family, our friends, Lord. Help us to do things the right way. Help us to do things that would make You proud of us. And Lord, we know that You are the one that guides us through life. Amen.